So that was incredible, guys. Hard to follow that up because that was just awesome. They proclaimed it today. Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. He will come to rule. The only choice you have in the matter is if you're going to walk with Him or be separated from Him for all eternity. Because He's paid the price for our sins. He's called us to redemption through His blood and reconciliation with God. So if you want to open your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53, we're going to get there eventually. A couple things I wanted to share today because, you know, as I told you, I was going to be short. Just a few minutes because I want to just speak on Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, the Chosen One, the God-man, the Son of the Living God. We've spoken that on the last few weeks about this baby in a manger, that He's more than just a cute, heartwarming story. He's the Savior of the world. He is God Himself who came to suffer and die for our sins, offering sins to everyone who believes. And so I'm going to be quick, but the message is deep. Not because I've got depth, but because the Word of God speaks loudly. You know, this plan of sending Jesus as a Redeemer was not a last-minute plan. It was not an act of desperation by God. But Jesus came because God so loved the world. You see, and the moment sin entered the world 4,000 years ago, I'm sorry, 4,000 years before the birth of Jesus, God shared His plan at the time that sin entered the world that He would send the one that would crush the enemy. He tells us that in Genesis 3:15. That He would send the one that would crush the skull of the enemy. In other words, He would defeat the enemy. Defeat the plan of the enemy. He would defeat death by sin. And that He would pay for it. And throughout the Old Testament, God shared many signs that would point to the promised Messiah. Understand, we've talked about this many times, that Jesus' last name isn't Christ. Christ is the title of Jesus. It's the same word we know as Messiah. Just one's in Greek and one's in Hebrew. And so Jesus is the Christ, which means He is the Messiah. And Messiah means He is the Anointed One, the Chosen One, the One sent by God. And God promised the Messiah would come when He spoke to Abraham. If you remember Abraham, 2,000 years before the birth of Jesus, God told this to Abraham, check this out, I'm going to be quick. But listen to what He told Abraham in Genesis 12. He says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curse thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." He told Abraham this promise as He's promising Abraham to make of him many nations. And we know through Abraham, he's the forefather of Israel, the Jews. He says, listen, I'm going to bless those who bless Israel. I'm going to protect Israel. Why? Because through Israel, through the Jews, I will send the Messiah. You know why He's protected the Jews over so many years? The Jews have had more enemies than you can count. Nation after nation has chosen to attack Israel and hate Israel because God protects Israel for a purpose. He brought the Savior the first time through the Jews. And He promised this in the Old Testament. He would do this. And you know what? He's still using the Israelites. He's still using the Jews. You know why? Because when Christ comes back to rule the second time, you know who He's going to come through? The Jews again. He's going to use Israel for His glory to come back and rule. You know? But not only did God promise to send Jesus back in Genesis 12 when He spoke to Abraham. 700 years before the birth of Jesus, God used a prophet that told how and who He was going to come through. In Isaiah 7:14, He says, "Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel." We know that verse. That's a Christmas time verse. No, it's my life verse. It's a verse that makes a promise to me. the one coming, the one he is sending, the Christ, the Messiah. He does not need seed of man. He doesn't need man to plant his seed, because he's going to be the seed of God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He will be God's seed, not man's seed, because he is sinless. You know why he comes through woman? So that he could have flesh. So that he could suffer for our sins. So that he could be tested and still show himself holy. But then God even told how all this was going to appear and how this was going to work. In Isaiah 53, if you're there with me, he tells us how Jesus was going to be treated in his life. Still 700 years before the birth of Jesus, look what he promised, Isaiah 53, verse 3. And he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted of grief, and we hid as if our faces far from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. The very people he came to save, with me? The very people he loved, and he put flesh on, and he came and dwelt amongst us, according to John chapter 1, hated him, rejected him, tortured him, killed him. And yet he stayed for 33 years ministering, loving, performing miracles, teaching, and preaching, and proclaiming. When he started receiving the wrath of God, according to verse 4 there in Isaiah, and he started receiving the wrath of God, men started to judge. He's being punished by God for his sinfulness. Jesus must have some dark, deep, secret sin in his life. Shame on him. God is bringing wrath upon him for his preaching of this gospel, for proclaiming to be the Son of God. Shame on him. And they were judging that God was castigating, that he was punishing Jesus for his own sins. But God told us the reason for Jesus' suffering just 700 years before Jesus was ever born. God told us in Isaiah chapter 53, look at verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. When man was looking at him saying, oh, God's punishing you now. For saying all that stuff, for preaching that stuff, he's getting at you. God says, no, he's not doing it for him. He's doing it for you. See, the Jews didn't recognize him as the Messiah because they did not want that teaching. They didn't want to admit that this dirty scene was needed. But his suffering, that of Jesus, was not punishment due to him. It was punishment due to me. You with me? His punishment on that cross is due to me. And whether you like it or not, it's due to you. We deserve it. He did not. He never committed sin. He suffered for me. He suffered for you. Our transgressions, it says, our sins, our rebellions are the reason for his suffering. This is the Christmas story. You say, no, that's Easter. No, this is the Christmas story. This is why he came to this little manger. He's not just some cute baby in a manger. He's a Savior come to earth, incarnated God. On him was all the discipline, punishment, all the beating that I deserve. You with me? Check this out. All that I deserve, he took upon himself. That cute little baby. And it says there in verse 5, the second half of it, it says, the chastisement of our peace, personalize that, the chastisement of my peace was upon him. By his stripes, we are healed. Because of his suffering, because of his punishment, I can have peace with God, which I cannot have without the blood of Jesus Christ. Why can I have peace with a holy God? I'm an unholy creature. I have sinned before a holy God, but because his holy blood was shed when it wasn't deserved to be shed, he offers it to me, and I can have peace with a holy God because of the work of Jesus Christ. By his suffering, I can have peace. By his chastisement, I have peace. Because of his stripes, we are healed. Because of his beatings, because of his rejections, I can be healed of the sickness of sin. Death is defeated. You with me? Death is by his stripes. I'm going to personalize this. His stripes, I am healed. My sins are paid for. My sins are covered. But this was all prophesied 700 years before he was even born. But as we looked at just a couple weeks ago in Galatians chapter 4, verse 4 says, but when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth a son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those that are under the law, that we might receive the adoptions of sons. When God's perfect plan time came, he sent his son, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, Jesus Emmanuel, meaning God with us, Jesus, God in the flesh. When a fullness time has come, God sent forth his son, Jesus. He came to redeem those that are stuck under the law and allowed us to be called his children. Let me tell you, if you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ, never called on his name for salvation, you are stuck under the law. You are condemned by the law, according to John chapter 3. You have sinned before a holy God, and you are deserving of damnation, of separation from God for all eternity. But Jesus came to fix that. He came to offer hope and give you an adoption that you can be called children. That you can be called children of God. But none of that would have happened if you had not first come as a baby in a manger. As the incarnate holy God, birthed by a woman so that he could suffer for us. And this is why we celebrate Christmas. This is why Christmas is a big deal. Because a holy God put on flesh, dwelt amongst us, as he had always promised he was going to do. And he didn't stop at a cute little manger scene. He went from actually a very ugly, stinky scene to an even uglier scene. Because that's what it costs for you and I to have a relationship with a holy God. Isn't that an awesome story? You see what Jesus did? He fulfilled what Jesus says in Scripture. Quote it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus fulfills the promise, the love of the Father, by coming to us as he's always promised. Remaining pure and holy and taking upon him what he didn't deserve so that you and I can have a relationship with him. He's fulfilled this work, and all he requires of you is faith. That you trust his person, not because he said so, but because we can see it, because of the witnesses he left for us. That we can follow him by faith. We can have a relationship with him by faith. That he will work in our life by faith. And if you've never done that, if you've never had a time that you call upon his name by faith, I'd love to show you in God's word how you can be saved. But we celebrate today that God put on flesh and came to be the Savior of the world. Would you stand with me? Mark, can I get the remote? We're going to close in a song you might be familiar with. We serve an awesome God. Go ahead and put that song up there, will you, Campbell? If you haven't noticed, Campbell's getting to do the computer today. She's taking over back there. But is his name wonderful? When you think of the name of Jesus, does it mean a lot to you? Does it mean that you've been rescued from death, that you've been rescued from your sins, that because of the name Jesus, you have a relationship with the Holy One? Again, if you never have called on him for salvation, I'd love to show you in God's word how you can be saved. But let's sing together.